Let's keep the confusion down. Next in line, the planning board will ask questions, and we're going to try and focus on these two gentlemen. The planning board gets through it. We're going to allow the interested parties to ask questions of these gentlemen before we proceed further with DCP. So, it's open to members of the planning board. You want to start right at that end? We'll let Neil go off with it first. To whom you're addressing.
Is it working now? I'm Neil Frangus from the planning board, or contractor to the planning board. I have a question for Mr. Baldridge. Are there any future plans for LPG export from this terminal? I mean, that's getting to be an issue, and it has started in Houston now.
Your question is whether there are future plans for our facility to be an export facility.
Well, have you looked at it?
We have not looked at it, and it is not in the scope of our project for it to be an export facility.
Okay. My other question was, the rail cars that you may load in the future here, are those, will each rail car reduce the amount of product that leaves the terminal by truck?
They would be outbound, yes. So product would leave by truck or by rail.
So every rail car you send out would take three trucks off the road?
Roughly, yes.
And where would those rail cars go? To your two existing? If you start loading rail cars at this terminal, where are they going to go?
As Jeff mentioned, we have other rail terminals in New England, and so they would be going to other rail facilities. And then they would be put on trucks.
Okay. And those rail facilities now aren't very far away from here. The first one's only about 80 miles away, and the other's about 40 miles away. Is that correct?
There are two in the state of Maine, correct.
And where does the product for those terminals come from now?
Currently, they are supplied by rail cars, and we bring in rail cars from Canada, from the Gulf Coast, from the Midwest, from a variety of sources.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions, Neil?
I had one or two questions for Dr. Raj.
Please go ahead.
Dr. Raj, have you seen the memo that I wrote about Dr. Fay's calculations?
Mr. Frangis, yes, indeed, and I apologize again that I should have mentioned it in my presentation that you and I agree on that number. Your number is, I think, 0.6 miles, and I come up with 0.55, and that's within the noise of the calculations accuracy.
Okay. I was just trying to try to figure out what Fay must have been thinking when he made those calculations, because I think they make the thing appear much worse than it really is.
Do you want me to comment on that?
Yes, please.
I have been at loggerheads with Dr. Fay in many a circumstance. This is not the first time. And he always takes the very dim and extreme view of things that could happen. To the best of my knowledge, he has never attended experiments of the kind that I have showed you before here. Most of his calculations are based on his understanding of the world, which I don't subscribe to, because mine is based on actual experiments. Again, as I indicated in my presentation, there is no way you can evaporate 22 million gallons in very short time. Let me not even use the word instantaneous. if at all, it'll take in numbers of days. He probably assumed, in my opinion, that all of this will be a pressurized release. And I don't even see how you can have a 22 million gallon pressurized storage. You probably need 10 feet thick steel to hold it pressurized.
So I agree. I think Dr. Fay was trying to create a blevy with a 22 million gallon pressurized vessel, which is just totally impossible, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Have you ever made a radiant heat calculation for a much, much larger fire than the one that you were talking about this evening?
The answer is yes. I have actually reviewed, by the way, the largest test fire which was conducted with LNG on land is at 35 meters or 115 feet in diameter. This was done in France in 1987. I was privileged to be asked to come and review all their data, and actually I published a model based on that. That fire, by the way, I want to say something here. As the size of the fire increases from, let's say, from 5 feet, 10 feet, you saw the 10 feet fire that I was being exposed to, which was very well burning, if you will. It was a very radiant fire. But the same LNG, if you take it to 35 meters, 115 feet diameter, it looks more like a gasoline fire. As a matter of fact, I showed those films to firemen without telling them what was burning, and they all said, "Why are you showing me gasoline fire? We came to hear you about LNG." So what happens is, when this fire becomes larger and larger, in the center of the fire gets starved of oxygen to burn. And so when it starves some oxygen to burn, and people here would definitely know, those who use oil in their burners, when oil is not properly burning, it produces smoke. That's what the gunk that accumulates inside your boiler is smoke. That's what is happening. It's an inefficient burning as the size of the fire becomes larger. In fact, I have theorized that as you go to larger size fires, and if you believe the 500 feet diameter fire, you probably won't be able to say whether it is gasoline or kerosene or propane or methane or anything. They all look the same. All fires look the same at very large sizes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Any further questions, Neil?
No, I don't.
I'm going to go directly to the board on there, George.
This time I don't have any other questions, either one of you.